Glix, when is the next Mandalorian season coming out?
It would appear that the next season will not be coming out until late 2024. Or possibly even 2025.
That's too long. I wanted a Star Wars show.
I do have information about a new series that takes place in the Star Wars universe that just came out. It appears to be called Ahsoka.
Wait, what?
Glix, what is going on?
We are receiving a signal from a new area on the planet Ikari.
Alright, let's see what the planet has for us today.
Opening forms in 3, 2, 1.
Hello and welcome to Com Talk, the podcast extension of Geek Devotions, the show from devoted geeks who are devoted to letting people know that they are loved. I am Celeste, and with me I have...
Dallas.
Today we are going to be talking about Ahsoka.
Let's go.
So excited.
I'm hyped about this.
I am too. I've been hyped about this series since they announced it. So why don't you give us some particulars about the series?
Yeah, so if you guys aren't familiar with Ahsoka, Ahsoka is it's the newest Star Wars series. It's up on Disney Plus. They dropped 2 episodes earlier this week, and we'll get into our thoughts, but the way the IMDb reads, it goes, after the fall of the Galactic Empire, former Jedi Knight Ahsoka Tano investigates an emerging threat to a vulnerable galaxy. Dun, dun, dun. All right, so Celeste, how do we want to do this conversation today?
You want to do it the John style?
The John style?
And just kind of discuss the first 2 episodes freeform.
We could do that. We could definitely do that.
So mostly because I have a lot that I want to talk about, but I don't necessarily have a format in mind.
Yeah, we could do that.
Okay.
All right.
So before we do that, let's highlight Culture Box real quick.
Culture Box is the podcast network of podcasts that are coming together to discuss geekery, comedy, and storytelling and unpacking it in culture. And so that was the wrong way of saying that. And I apologize. Francis is going to fire me here in a second for
he
saying it.
He probably will.
So
we also will be hosting a Culture Box discussion Tuesday. The Tuesday after this recording airs,
right,
on our channel.
Yes.
So if you want to know more about Culture Box, come check out that stream.
It's going to be a good stream.
I think so.
All right, so here it is. Culture Box, unpacking truth through story, comedy, and geekery. And this is a podcast network of various shows that we're friends with. And they're great individuals. Some of them are, they do reviews such as Retro Rewind Podcast or Cellcast. Or you have like, there's this little show. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, Celeste. It's, they play games and they're strange. They play this game with lots of dice and numbers,
oh,
arithmetic.
The shiny click clacks.
Yeah. And it's called Playing Games with Strangers.
Yeah, I might know that one.
Okay, yeah. Maybe. And so they're part of the network, and there's several ones. There's a great podcast called Untold Podcast, which tells speculative fiction and audio dramas. It's really good. There's also another podcast, which actually I haven't heard in a while, and I hope the guys are okay. I need to connect to see what's going on. But it's called Stunning and Brave, which they are kind of like a sarcastic Babylon Bee style type of podcast. Yeah. And then we just added another podcast to the group, which I'm super excited about. And there are great friends over at The Rushmore Show, which The Rushmore Show is a podcast where they take different topics and they get their top 4 of it. They're Rushmore.
They're Rushmore. Yeah.
So great guys.
We've been on a couple times with them.
So we'll have links in the description down below for you guys to check out all that.
Okay, now let's talk about Ahsoka. Now, we have been looking forward to this series for quite a while. I have been hyped about this series since they announced it in like 2018. Like, I was like, yes, when do I get this?
Right.
When? and the first two episodes dropped. I legitimately did not realize that they dropped this week.
Mm-hmm.
I was scrolling through Facebook while putting on my shoes. We call it multitasking.
Right.
And I saw someone talking about the first two episodes, and I legitimately ran one sock on, one sock off, to the back of the house to go, Dallas, Ahsoka came out. And you're like, I know. I'm like, can we watch it tonight? Yeah.
Yes.
And so, and then I ran back to put my finish putting my shoes on so I could go to work and be an adult.
Right. So, but yeah, so it's, there was a lot of hype for this.
Yeah.
Not just for you, but for a lot of people in Star Wars fandom. So let me ask you this. Just flat out, without us going into spoilers, does it live up to your personal hype? And should people watch it? Again, we're only two episodes in.
I would say that as of yet, it has not completely lived up to my personal hype, but mm-hmm. I see the potential for it to do so.
Really?
I very much loved the first two episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate it. And I think that because it is going to be a shorter, it's only going to be eight episodes.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to tell a very concise story.
Right.
And so I think that because they are doing that rather than trying to do an overarching story, mm-hmm. I think that it will, by if you look at the entirety of it, it will live up to the hype.
Now that's
if that makes sense.
It's interesting you put it that way. There was a, saw a video, they're talking about what's happening in Disney and why are they failing. There's a lot of reasons that are taking place here. But from a technical point of view, some of the stuff mm-hmm. they're doing is that they're taking Star Wars properties or other stuff, and they're not putting them where they belong. They're taking stories that should have been a movie, mm-hmm. and they're stretching it out into a series.
Yeah.
Or they're taking series, and they're like condensing it down into a movie.
Yeah.
And a great example of one of is the Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
It didn't do too well. Now, it was enjoyable, but it was supposed to be a movie.
Oh, but I didn't know that.
That's what I was hearing. It was supposed to be a movie. But the way they stretched out the story that they had, even if it wasn't going to be a movie, they had so much happening that the main concise story of Obi-Wan confronting Anakin, Vader, and that whole thing was lost
yeah.
with everything else taking place. Yeah. And so a lot of people are saying, you know, they're not placing things in the right position. So I'm with you. I just hope that they don't drown out the story that's being told.
Yeah. I could see that. And I, just to chase that little rabbit trail side quest for a minute, mm-hmm. I could see that because we really enjoyed Andor,
mm-hmm.
but we haven't finished it
mm-mm.
because we just got lost up with mm-hmm. it. Like it's because it was a slow moving story.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been better as like a 3-hour movie.
Yeah.
As opposed to a however many episodes there are, I don't even know. I think we have like 3 or 4 left.
Yeah. We were legitimately enjoying it too.
Oh, yeah.
But we just got lost with everything else.
So I could agree with that, that might be a thing. I think if they tell the story well
mm-hmm.
and handle certain blue characters well,
right,
that it will do well. And
right.
it will be well done, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't remember what I was talking about before we went on to this little rabbit trail.
I asked if you thought that this was something that people should watch.
Oh, that was the second part of the question. Yeah. I would say yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's, to me, it seems like a really good starting point, if that makes sense.
Okay.
We just were talking to someone who hasn't gotten into Star Wars because there's just so much.
Yeah.
He wants to understand everything, which I understand.
Totally get that.
I am very much like that too, but I've also been into Star Wars since I was like 16.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's one of those things of if you go into this blind, you might not completely understand everything.
Mm-hmm.
But you're still going to enjoy it.
Yeah. It's got the same issue that Mobile Suit Gundam has. Mm. On our Gundam Watch YouTube channel, I have a reel up there, or a short, that's blown up. And I'm asking the question, does Gundam have a problem with the fact they have so much that people get lost? And it was spurred out of the conversation where John, before he came on board with the Gundam Watch, he was kind of intimidated by it because, and he watched the prologue to The Witch from Mercury, thinking that he should understand stuff from the rest of the Gundam series, and he doesn't. So he was kind of overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And not realizing The Witch from Mercury was a completely different, out of universe, different story altogether. Mm-hmm. And I really feel like Star Wars is verging on that to a degree. If they don't do good storytelling, I think that they do good storytelling, you should be able to jump into whatever it is and people should be able to follow along. There should be things you drop. They're like, okay, you know, we'll go rock this out. I think any more than like a trilogy, you run into issues. Like opposite, completely different thing. Another series about an orphaned wizard, Harry Potter, Harry Potter, Star Wars. But if you look at that, there's like 10 movies.
Eight
movies.
Wait, eight?
I thought there was 10 because I thought they separated a couple of books into multiple.
They separated the last movie into two.
Right.
And there was seven books.
Whatever it is, you jump into this, like, you're going to be lost. Now, I haven't watched them. I haven't watched past the first movie personally, but it's just too much. And if y'all just jump in the middle, you're going to be lost. Just completely and utterly lost. And so I think any more than a trilogy, you shouldn't do that. But I think that for the most part, a lot of these Star Wars, they've been pretty good about making it so you can jump in.
Yeah, they have. For the most part. Obviously, the original trilogy, you kind of have to watch it as the original trilogy.
Oh, yeah, totally.
1 through 3, you really need to watch 1 and 2 to understand 3.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, you get more out of 3 if you watch The Clone Wars.
True.
So it's one of those things of, they've done a fairly good job. Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni have done a good job of creating stories in the world that aren't so contingent on the Skywalker storyline.
Yeah.
That you don't understand what's happening. You can drop yourself in and go, okay, this is normal for this world. Like you do with any sci-fi movie.
Totally. Totally. Now, I figure let's do this. Let's talk about, we kind of been on the outliners. We're not doing any spoilers just yet. Let's keep in this flow and then we'll take a break, come back with spoiler stuff.
Sounds good.
Storytelling wise, I put a tweet out about this earlier this week. And I want to know if you agree with me. To me, this feels like the most Star Wars-y Star Wars project in recent history. Like the last two seasons of The Mandalorian, Boba Fett, even Visions, which I loved Visions. I know it's kind of contentious for some folks, but I enjoyed it. They didn't feel Star Wars-y. This opening up, and we'll get into it, it felt like Star Wars to me.
Well, even the way they were doing the cuts, like, the newer stuff was doing newer style cuts. So, like, the Mandalorian swipe series, they weren't doing the swipe, the blank, that you've ended a scene, we're swiping into the next one, like most of the Star Wars stuff has. And they did that in Ahsoka.
Mm-hmm. I think they did a couple times. They just weren't as pronounced in Ahsoka as they are in Ahsoka. I can't say words tonight.
Apparently not. They were not as pronounced as they are in Ahsoka.
Yeah.
I think that they came at Ahsoka going, we need this to be clearly Star Wars.
Yeah.
Whereas the others, they were kind of trying to play with genre pieces.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mando is a
Western-ish.
A Western. It's a space Western. It Firefly and Cowboy Bebop can all be together. Book of Boba Fett is a gangster.
Mm-hmm.
Gangster movie that just happens to take place on Tatooine.
Yeah.
Like, there's
Endor is more of a spy film.
Yeah, Endor really just feel like a Bourne movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I feel like they were playing with genres, and while they were good, they weren't Star Wars.
Yeah.
So, and that's okay. You can do that because the Star Wars universe is so expansive.
Oh, yeah.
You could definitely play with the genres as long as you tell the story well.
Oh, yeah. Some of my favorite Star Wars stories aren't even the movies. It's mm-hmm. the comics. Mm. I love the Tales of the Jedi, Knights of the Old Republic mm-hmm. stories. Those are fascinating to me. And the more we got into some of the modern storytelling with some of the shows, mm-hmm. and I found myself going, man, I really wish I was reading the comics.
Yeah.
With the caveat that shows like Clone Wars, Rebels, and we haven't watched the other ones that take place just yet, but
oh, the ones that take place in the Rey era.
Yeah, yeah. We haven't watched those, but like the first season of those always felt off.
Yeah.
Like just super off. But they kicked into gear from the second season forward. Mm-hmm. And those felt great. They were fantastic stories. I loved them. They were great. But they never felt like Star Wars. And I'm saying that that's a bad thing. I think that the fact that you hit on the head, they were doing genre pieces.
Yeah.
They were, some of them were good. There were some good aspects of it, but they didn't feel Star Wars-y like Ahsoka does right now.
I think that the final season of Clone Wars mm-hmm. felt the most Star Wars-y.
I'll give you that.
Out of all of them, mm-hmm. because they were trying to connect what they'd done mm-hmm. to episode 3.
Yeah. Definitely.
So they had to gear it more towards it. Mm-hmm. And also, both Clone Wars and Rebels were at first were geared towards children.
Yeah.
So they were a little more kiddy and a little more immature. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that we basically got to watch Ahsoka grow up through Clone Wars.
That's been interesting, hasn't it?
It has. We've seen her as a child. Mm-hmm. We've seen her as a teenager. We've seen her as a young woman, and now we see her as a grown adult.
Mm-hmm. So it's been interesting watching that progression as a whole. And let's jump into some details about that as her an adult mm-hmm. after this quick break.
In a world where live action movies reign supreme, two awesome dudes are keeping things animated. If you want to hear a couple of animation nerds gush about the movies they love, then hop, run, or fly on over to The Cellcast. Available on most podcast platforms.
This podcast is a proud member of Culture Box. Whether you enjoy geeky reviews, comedy, or original fiction, you can open up the Culture Box and find something excellent for your soul. Point your web browser to culturebox.media.
All right, welcome back from our break. We hope you guys check out those individuals we just promote. If you've tuning in halfway through the show for some weird reason, welcome.
Why'd you skip ahead?
Maybe they didn't skip ahead. Maybe, Celeste, maybe there's an amazing devoted geek who's listening to Comm Talk right now, and it's coming out of their phone, and somebody just walked into the office. Maybe that's what happened. Hello, office mate. How are you doing?
That's weird, but okay.
So
I thought for a moment you were trying to say they were listening to us record this right now.
Oh, that's weird. Like,
that is some next level spy crap.
That's Andor right there. Mm-mm. No, but hey, Mm-mm. we've been talking about Star Wars. We've been talking about Ahsoka. And right now we're about to get into a conversation, some spoilers about Ahsoka. So if you don't want spoilers, don't pause this if you're listening to YouTube. Just mute your speakers and walk away. Because we need that runtime on the YouTubes.
Help us win the algorithm.
That being said, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, let's get into this conversation. It's going off the rails. About Ahsoka, the spoil stuff. I won't put this out there. Just put it out there real quickly. There was a Sith that is in this. He's you have two Sith. You have a master and an apprentice. I was very surprised by them. But it's Darth Balin Skull. Up to date, they haven't actually called him Darth, to be fair.
Yeah.
They just said that he's a former Jedi. However, this sadly is his last role.
Oh.
At the end of the episode, you see a thing saying, in memory of our friend Rey. And that is Ray Stevenson, who sadly passed away by the end of this. And he played several things. He was in a movie called Vikings. It was a TV series actually called Vikings. In Star Wars Clone Wars, he played the character Gar Saxon. He was in Thor Ragnarok, and he played a character named Vostag, which, I mean, he does look kind of Viking-ish. He played Rebels, played Gar Saxon also. And but he's done a lot of stuff over the years. And so super sad to hear that he's passed away.
He was Porthos in the 2011 Three Musketeers.
I just saw that. So, again, if somehow the family sees this, our condolences. We're sorry to see that. I've enjoyed his character, actually. I kind of wish that we could get more out of this character. Maybe they'll continue something off with the books and the comics of this character, but Mr. Ray Stevenson played it well. I thought he was a really interesting Sith. Or conflicted Jedi.
I was about to say, I wonder if he's not actually a Sith.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he doesn't have the insanity that a Sith has.
Mm-hmm.
He just kind of seems like he's a lightsaber for hire.
Mm-hmm.
And he has this young girl. She honestly seems more Sith-like than he does.
Yeah, I think that she's... I don't know. Again, we don't know anything about these individuals just yet. Her name is Shin Hati. And it's being played by a woman named Ivana Sakono. And so she looks like she's done a lot of French films.
Yeah, she's French.
And so...
which might be why she hasn't had a lot of speaking parts.
Maybe. She was a cadet in Pacific Rim Uprising, though.
Oh.
So respect to that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But
I find these two new Sith quite interesting.
I think that they're going to do something interesting with them.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading an article, and I don't remember what it was on, but it was talking about how there is a history of sometimes the Sith, the bad guys, the ones that aren't truly evil, end up being won over by logic.
Mm.
And so I wonder, because in this episode, we've already seen his tendencies for Jedi reason, Jedi logic.
Right.
I wonder if he's going to end up not revoking, what's the word?
I don't know what you're trying to say.
Not rebuking. What is it?
Going back on?
Renouncing.
Renouncing.
Renouncing the dark side.
Oh. Possibly.
Because he does have that, like, he tells the lady who's paying him, that would be a tragedy to kill her because there's not that many Jedi.
Right.
Like, so he...
He has understanding.
He has understanding and he has sympathies.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is potential in that for redemption because he's not Palpatine.
Granted.
Or Darth Plagueis the Wise.
Oh, Lord. Oh, my goodness.
Or Bane.
Or Bane, for sure. So... But like I said, I kind of want more. I would like to get their backstory more. Mm. I would like to see a story takes place about these two Sith.
I think that we might get that.
Yeah. Now, this world takes place starting off really on the same planet that Rebels took place for the most part.
Yeah.
And we had the whole crew from Rebels.
Almost
the whole crew. But I want to point this out. Natasha Liu Bordizzo is the young lady who's playing Sabine Wren, which was a Mandalorian, but she was kind of like, she was creative, she was artsy, she bucked the system a lot, and
Not what I heard.
Yeah, okay. So anyways, but she's a really fascinating character. I loved her in the Rebels series, but I really appreciate the way that this young lady is playing the character.
I do too. Because, well, and if you think about it, the things that happened with Rebels took place before episode 4.
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost positive.
Right.
So this is a Sabine that has been through the entirety of the war.
Right.
We saw the beginning of the rebellion with the rebels, how things fell into place
right.
for the mass public. Obviously, there's other things that happened that were sooner than that. But for the masses, mm-hmm. this is where the rebellion was
right.
really started. And it was 15, 16 years after episode 3.
Right.
Ezra Bridger was the same age as Leia and Luke.
Right.
So this is a Sabine who has lived through all of that as a teenager because she was the same age as Ezra.
Right.
So now she is a teenager who's been through war, who has seen her friend disappear, has gone through everything.
Yeah.
And is still managing to be artistic and hopeful.
Right. Okay. So I just want to confirm, Rebels takes place towards the end of the era between episode 3 and A New Hope, episode 4.
Okay. So it is in that in between time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Before Rogue One. So that being said, the actress is doing a great job of portraying that artistic side of things, but mm-hmm. that strong, because she was a strong character.
Oh, yeah.
She was always growing in the mm-hmm. series, in my opinion. In this one, she's, this is a Sabine who's been hurt.
Yeah.
She's missing her friend. She started learning from Ahsoka to be an apprentice, to be a Jedi.
Because she was Force sensitive.
Right. But something happened where they separated Ahsoka and her.
We don't know what.
We don't know what yet. But there's still this growth. And now she's at the end of the episode when she basically takes the Mandalorian creed and chops off her hair and dons her uniform and the lightsaber at the same time. You're like it was something special that took place, in my opinion.
It was it's almost like there's, and I can't think of what it is. Oh, the John Wick movies.
Yeah.
Where something happens and you see him suiting up.
Mm.
You see him getting ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
He had left this life behind. Sabine left behind being someone who was a warrior.
Right.
Which is really hard for any Mandalorian.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And she wanted to be peaceful.
Yeah.
And she goes, this is not what is needed right now.
Yeah. So, well, what'd you think of Mary Winston's portrayal of Hera?
Once I got over the fact that her voice was wrong,
mm-hmm.
because Mary Winston is not the one who voiced Hera in Rebels.
Right.
I loved it.
Yeah.
She does a great job of bringing that almost motherly.
Yeah. That's a great way of putting it.
Like, because Hera was always the mom of the group.
Mm-hmm.
She was always the one who was like, we need to make sure that they're okay. They are still children. Like, she was the one who handled all of that while mm-hmm. still having some things like sending them off to find a fruit that wasn't on a planet.
Right.
But like, so she had that, but she always had that mom type role. She was the mom friend. And so this actress does a great job of giving that, of going, hey, this is something you might want to do.
Right.
This is, you need me right now. So mm-hmm. I'm here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when your father's John McClane, your boyfriend is Scott Pilgrim, I mean, you pick up some certain skills.
And then she's married to Obi-Wan.
Exactly.
Like,
for those of you not knowing, the actress, she played John McClane's daughter in Die Hard, and she was also Ramona Flowers in Scott Pilgrim.
And then she's married to, I don't even know his real name. She's married to Obi-Wan.
Right. The guy who plays Obi-Wan.
What is his name?
Is it Ian McGregor?
Ian McGregor?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I feel so bad for that family.
Why?
Because Ian McGregor's younger brother is in the British Naval Forces or the Air Forces.
Uh-huh.
And his call sign is Obi-2.
I did not know that.
He's Obi-2.
That's
I'm
so
like,
funny.
That's the ultimate. I can never escape the shadow of my big brother.
That's so funny. That's so funny. Oh my gosh. So someone I didn't expect to be in was David Tennant.
I was not expecting him either.
He plays a robot and he brings that right kind of charm.
Yeah.
So, but I was super surprised to hear his voice, and I was kind of happy about it. I was excited to have him in here.
I am always excited for David Tennant to be in something mm-hmm. because I love his acting.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as the robot said something sassy,
mm-hmm.
and I went, is that David Tennant?
Right.
Because, like, again, you're not seeing his face,
yeah, yeah.
so you don't know. But legitimately, he goes, they were about to do something, unlock something that had the potentiality to explode. Hera was there as a hologram, and she goes, I think we should try it. And he goes, you're a hologram. And that's the point that I went,
Is that Tennant? That's kind of Tennant-ish, wasn't it?
That's kind of Tennant-ish.
Oh, all right. So let's get to the character of the day.
Oh.
And that is
Rosaria Dawson.
Playing Ahsoka Tano.
Tano.
So what did we think about her?
I love her.
Yeah?
I think she does a fantastic job of playing an adult Ahsoka.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she doesn't necessarily have the hopeful exuberance that young Ahsoka did in the Clone Wars.
Right.
But she's also an adult.
Well, that was the thing. And I wanted to get to this point because we watched Ahsoka grow up.
Yeah.
Thanks to, was it Visions? It was one of the animated
ones. Yes, one of the Visions.
We actually had baby Ahsoka take place. So we've legitimately seen her grow up into this woman. And there was this weird, like, as a young Jedi, youngling, like where she was our apprentice, she was, like I said, super hopeful and everything. And you saw that take place even towards the end of the series until she had the moment where she had to face Anakin.
Yeah.
That was big.
Yeah.
That was a huge thing to face Anakin and to go, my master is dead.
Yeah.
And not just her master. It was her brother. And she's hurt. She's jaded. At the same time, though, like, because there's a big thing about, like, all right, are we just tired of the jaded hero thing? Because we're having a little bit of burnout of that and stuff. But even with her jadedness, where she's like, you kind of see a little bit of the hope in there.
Oh, yeah.
Like she has these glimmers of going, okay.
The hope is there. The humor is there.
Mm-hmm.
But she is definitely a more reserved Ahsoka.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the character would be the same if the Jedi Order was still around.
Oh, yeah.
Because she had been kicked out of the Jedi Order, and because she was framed, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah.
And so she has some jadedness from that, but she held to what she felt was true.
Mm-hmm.
She held to her beliefs. She held to her standards.
Right.
And I honestly think that if she was to meet up with Yoda, he would be proud of her.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because of the way she's handling herself.
Mm-hmm. The character as a whole, I think it's a natural progression. And I think that the way that Rosario's playing her is darn near perfect, in my opinion.
It's fantastic. It has a great balance of serious, but a glimmer of that humor.
Mm-hmm. Which I think you have to have when you're combining modern Star Wars telling with Rebels, which had a sense of humor to it the entire
time. Oh, yeah.
Even the most serious moments, the heartbreaking moments. And let me tell you, there were some heart-wrenching moments in Rebels and in Clone Wars. There was a level of levity that came with it.
Rebels, not as much as Clone Wars, although by the end as much.
Mm-hmm.
But throughout the series, it didn't have as many heartbreaking moments. There were multiple times during Clone Wars that we would look at each other and go, is this a kid's show? Why is this considered a children's show?
What? Oh my gosh. So, but I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying her acting. I said at the beginning of the show, this feels like more a Star Wars show than we've had in a while. Some of it's the cinematography. The opening scenes where they're on the ship and all that's taking place, and you have the two Sith show up. That whole scene felt like it could have been an alternate version of openings of A New Hope.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
It just felt right. Even, I don't know if they did something with the film grain itself, but everything just felt like the pieces were right together.
I almost wonder if they were using old sets.
I doubt that. I seriously doubt they were using old sets.
Oh, and that's possible. I am excited, though, for Thrawn.
Oh, yeah.
That is... I've been listening to the audiobooks of Thrawn done by... Ooh, don't catch me lying. Hang on.
Hey guys, Dallas here, jumping in real quick for an editor note. For the remainder of this podcast, you may hear some strange sounds when Celeste is speaking, and that's because we have a noise gate on her audio, and as we started recording when we got to this portion of the podcast, it started to rain really, really loudly, and so we're excited because we haven't had rain in our area in well over a month, but it got really loud, so her audio is going to sound a little weird from this point forward in the podcast, but hang out. We hope you guys enjoy the rest of the conversation.
Done by Timothy Zahn.
Hmm.
Now, Timothy Zahn wrote the Aftermath series. And so his stuff is considered canon. And the Thrawn series of books, it's a trilogy, runs parallel to Rebels.
Yeah.
Except for it's all from Thrawn's perspective.
Hmm.
And so you see things that would not necessarily be seen from the perspective of Ezra.
Hmm.
Or even Sabine.
Right.
Because... basically, he's playing the Emperor because he's trying to protect the Chiss,
right?
Which is a race in another galaxy. But he is a fascinating character. It's as if Spock was more ruthless.
Oh, wow.
He is so analytical and so observant. And then his eyes are red and he sees on different frequencies.
Right.
So he just knows things. He makes it up to Grand Admiral younger than anyone else. He's on track to be a Moff.
Wow.
So it's fascinating. And yeah. I am intrigued to see him in real life.
Yeah, definitely.
Because he was the big bad for Rebels. And he's almost a sympathetic character in the Thrawn books. Like, he's not a good guy.
Right.
But he's more of an anti-hero.
I get that.
Than he is a big bad.
Right.
Because obviously Palpatine's the big bad.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, guys, that's our thoughts on Ahsoka. We want to hear from you guys. Have you guys enjoyed it? Do you plan to watch it? What are your thoughts? Let us know. Reach out to us. Comment on our social media post about it. You can comment on the YouTube version of this because it's going to be on our YouTube channel. Real quick, Celeste, what is your big hope for this series?
I want them to bring Ezra back.
Mm.
But that's not my big hope.
Okay.
Because while that would make the Rebels lover in me extremely happy,
mm-hmm.
my hope is that Ahsoka will have to face off with Thrawn.
Oh. That would be interesting.
Because Thrawn is so tactical.
Mm-hmm.
And to the point of where Thrawn knows that Vader is Anakin.
Mm.
No one else knows that.
Oh, wow.
And he figured it out.
Crazy.
So, like, just the... Because she is so good at what she does.
Mm-hmm.
And then watching him do that, and then watching them both snark back and forth at each other
right.
in their own specific ways.
Right.
I am so hyped.
Well, we'll see how that plays out. I'm excited to see more of the series myself. Hey, if you've enjoyed this, give you guys a heads up. If you would like to hear next week's episode early,
yeah,
you guys can if you are a devoted Patreon geek. Our devoted Patreon geeks have their own personal feed where we post out extra content every so often, but also early content. And so tomorrow they're actually getting next week's episode of Comm Talk. So if you'd like to get that early, check out our Patreon feed, which you can go to geekdevotions.com and check click on support, and you can find out how to become a devoted Patreon geek for as little as $1 a month.
Woohoo!
All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, it is time for us to wrap up this boat.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to Comm Talk today. If you have loved this episode, head on over to Apple Podcasts to subscribe, rate, or leave a review, or even Spotify. And it is very much appreciated. So until next time, stay devoted.
Peace and love.